Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Today's special guest is Michael Small.
All right, how about some more love for the Soulshine Band? Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Becca. All right. Sorry about that. I just want to let you know I started school on Wednesday. There's a lot. I've been very busy this week, so just letting you know. And there's postcards out front for the next Gay Men's Chorus. We're doing Elton John, so if you like Elton John, come see us. So, anyway, this week we're still going on the journey to understanding the five principles. This morning I text Gordon to get my notes online, and I asked for a little bit of inspiration, and so he sent me this morning: five top reasons beer is better than religion. Number one, no one knocks on your door trying to give you a free beer on a Saturday morning. Number two, there are strict laws about giving beer to minors, unlike some belief systems. Number three, nobody's ever been burned at the stake for preferring IBAs over lagers. And if you know the difference between IBAs and lagers, see me after church, because I don't. You don't have to wait 2,000 years for a second beer. And if you do devote your life to beer, there are plenty of support groups to help you out. And I have one of them. So, actually, I got that from another minister who's going through ministerial school. So, just let you know. Sometimes a good laughter is just as sacred as a good prayer. Yes. So today we're continuing with the five principles of unity, a living practice. Now, why principles and not laws? The concept of laws versus principles is critical to understand. Our spiritual path at Unity, especially here at Unity. Now, laws demand obedience, principles invites relationships. Think about the groups that we're doing. We have the gay and bisexual support group, the diabetes group, the recovery group, the grief groups. Those provide relationships outside of this. This provides relationships. But there's a place where we meet, whether it's classes as well, too. In traditional religious frameworks, especially here in the West, they often focus on external expectations, control, and fear. This creates an environment where spirituality becomes more about performance, judgment, and self-criticism, and rather than growth and healing. What I love about Unity is that we emphasize principle over dogma. It's not about rigid laws, but rather creating space for self-discovery, healing, and personal growth. Wouldn't you agree? Okay. The beauty of Unity is that we invite all people, no matter their background or belief systems, to come as you are, ask questions, and to explore what resonates with your truth. We're not here to tell you what to believe, but to empower you to find your own spiritual awakening. A couple months ago, I said something like this, that if we all grew up in Unity, imagine hearing those words, like the principle and the 12 powers, if we were raised with that knowledge, knowing that you were inherently good, worthy, deeply connected to all life, and guided by inner wisdom, I think our life would be different. Instead, many, especially in traditional religions, religious settings were taught that the opposite is true. that love is conditional, earned through performance, and rule following. Think about Paul in the Bible, in his own spiritual journey, grappling with tension between the old law-based system and the radical love and freedom Jesus embodied. While Paul's writings reflected moments of deep divine realizations, they also showed flashes of his struggle with fear-based Pharisaical thinking. Sadly, many Western churches institutionalize this fear and control rather than the freedom and the love that Jesus teaches. This is where unity stands out. We're not here to be gatekeepers of dogma or to seek or to force any single belief upon anyone. Instead, we invite deep personal inquiry into the truth, means for each individual, your truth, not my truth. We all have our own truth. I'm just here to teach. Gordon is here to teach. You have to find your own truth. And through that relationship building, which is the foundation of true healing and spiritual growth, we uplift. Jesus didn't come to impose rigid laws, but to offer freedom, freedom from fear, from judgment, and from the need to perform. The principles we teach, whether through the five principles or the 12 powers, guide each of us to lift each other up, not through rules, but through the recognition of the divine within each of us. Unity teaches us that we don't have to earn God's love. It's already here, within each of us, all around us. We're already worthy, just because we are. And the message of unconditional love is that what makes unity place where healing and growth, let me just say this again, and this message of unconditional love is what makes unity a place where healing and growth can truly happen. When we ask questions, when we open ourselves up to the transformative power of principle, we can move past the fear of dogma and traditional religion and step into a space of freedom, love, and empowered spiritual growth. Think about that for a sec. Whoop. And moving into mics too. So, where am I? Here we are. And so this is what we've learned so far. The first principle is God is good, right? There's only one presence, one power in the universe and in our lives. God is good. God is not external or the punisher or intervener. God is not a man up in the sky with a checklist looking for us to make mistakes. God is love, omnipresent, omnimagnificent, and absolute good. This is the difference than some traditional views of God, especially in the Hebrew scripture, where God is often portrayed as angry or punitive. In unity, we interpret the Bible metaphysically. That means we look beyond the literal words and ask deeper questions. Who wrote the Bible? Or who wrote this? Who was it written for? When was it written? And what spiritual truth can I draw from it? Principle two is divine in nature. We are created in the image and likeness of God, which means we too are good. We have that piece of original goodness. We might fall short sometimes, which is called missing the mark, right? And that's literally what missing the mark means is sin. But missing doesn't mean that you're bad. It means that we're learning and we're growing. If the first two principles are foundational truths, God is love and so are we, then the next three today, what we're going to learn, and the next two that Gordon's going to be teaching, is how we live them out. Principle three is we create our life experience through the power of our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. This might surprise you, but we think all day long. You're doing it right now. I can hear it. You may not even know that you're doing it. And some studies say we have about 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day. And many of those thoughts are repetitive. And you wouldn't even know, but a lot of them are negative. Think about the culture we're in right now. Our task is to become conscious of our thoughts and align them with truth. The third principle is one of my favorites, not just because we're co-creators with God. It's about how we are creating reality through our thoughts held in mind. Over the past couple of weeks, Gordon has been sharing how quantum physics relates to unity's principles. Today, I want to bring that home, especially how it connects to the third principle. We are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. Now, that might sound a little abstract at first, but let's look at it through the lens of quantum physics, because it actually helps us understand this in a very powerful way. We're used to thinking of the world as a solid and fixed world. We have a piano that's solid. We have a podium that's solid. Your chair is solid. The people, the trees, the cars. But quantum physics shows us that even at a small level, there's vibration. Everything is made up of energy. It's not set in stone. I'm not set in stone, but you see me, solid. It moves and shifts and exists in many possible states until we observe it, and then it's frozen. In other words, things become real when we focus on them. That's the same principle applies to our thinking. Our thoughts are energy. Our thoughts are energy too. And when we repeat it, and especially a negative thought, we're reinforcing a kind of energy pattern in our lives. We're shaping the atmosphere around us, just like observing a particle change and how it behaves. Focusing on a thoughtful doubt, resentment changes how we behave. It affects us, it affects how we feel, how we choose, we make. Let me just say that again. It affects how we feel, the choices we make, and even the way we see the world. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, put it this way. Divine ideas are man's inheritance. Each idea contains all that is necessary to unfold the Christ consciousness. In other words, when we hold thoughts of truth, peace, and love, we're tuning in to divine ideas. We're activating a higher frequency. Think of your mind like a radio station. Wherever your station you're tuned into, that's what you're going to hear. If your mind is tuned into fear, regret, or not enough, that becomes the soundtrack of your life. But here's the thing. Most of us don't even realize we're stuck at that station. But once we become aware of what we have of that choice, we can tune it into something new: hope, gratitude, bless you, compassion, joy. And when we do, everything begins to shift. That's the heart of the third principle. You are co-creators in spirit. Your thoughts matter. Your consciousness shapes your reality, and that, my friends, is not just quantum physics. It's spiritual truth. This principle reminds us that it's not just about what we think or feel. It's about practicing those thoughts into being, affirming the life we want to co-create with the divine. Myrtle Fillmore puts it beautifully when she said that our soul works is to unfold more of God. That means beyond human doubt, beyond the noise and clutter of daily fear, resisting and saying a bold yes to the universe. I keep thinking about something simple yet symbolic. If you want to go ahead and put the slide up there, please, for me. Does anybody know what that is? Yes. That's one of my favorite things, and it's perfect for this because it's an example of spiritual growth. It's not rushed because you know as that being inside of it grows, it it steps into that new, I want to say, new apartment, and closes the apartment behind, and it basically grows, and then once it starts growing, it grows, it builds another apartment and moves into that. It's unfolding in divine timing, just as it should. Each step, each chamber is necessary. In my mind, it's a creative process as a spiral. The spiral growth and manifestations are not linear. We may set intentions, face obstacles, revisit old doubts, and renew our faith while gradually ascending upward. But the spiral shows that every affirmation, every act of faith builds upon the last, moving us upward, even if it seems like we're going in a circle on familiar ground. So, number one, deepening and expanding faith principle three is about practicing faith consistently. The spiral represents how our faith and understanding deepen over time. As we move through life's circles like this, each revolution of the spiral brings us greater wisdom and trust and divine process. Number two, manifesting through layers, we often expect instant results, don't we? When working with spiritual principles, we want it now. But the spiral reminds us that true creation unfolds in layers. And you can see how it just kind of moves in layers. Each step we take, no matter how small, is part of the larger journey towards manifesting our highest good. Number three, alignment with divine order. Spirals are a natural form that appears in galaxies, appears in weather patterns, even in our DNA. It's also part of the flowers. If you looked at flowers and how flowers, you see flowers as they're blooming, they have that same pattern. It shows a deep intelligence in this creation. By aligning our thoughts and actions with spiritual truth, we tap in that same divine pattern, trusting that our journey, though it's winding, it's moving in the right direction. Transcending limiting beliefs, as we ascend that spiral, we often revisit old fears and limiting beliefs. But each time we do, we have the chance to apply new insights and faith, transforming them even more fully and continuing that upward climb. In essence, that spiral beautifully embodies the principle. It shows that spiritual mastery and co-creation with the divine and dynamic and involving process, always moving us towards a greater expression of truth and love. That practice is the metaphysical truth. It's not just passively thinking, not going with the flow, but actively affirming through our actions the kind of world we want to create. So if we're the spark of God, what kind of world do you want to create? We often misunderstand or dismiss this principle by just thinking it's just positive thinking or manifestation. But it's much deeper than that. It's about recognizing that every thought, feeling, and action is part of the flow, part of the living substance of God. Whether it's small gestures like picking up litter or large acts of affirmations in our lives, we're always co-creating. Jesus' parable of the sower in Matthew 13:3 reminds us that not every idea, inspiration, or calling will take root. Some will fall on the path and are snatched away either by animals or insects or, you know, birds. And there's no foundations. So some will fall on rocky ground too, where there is no foundation, and some will be choked by thorns. But when we listen, when we nurture that good soil through prayer, meditation, and clear intention, we allow these seeds to grow and multiply. In metaphysical terms, these seeds represent our thoughts, feelings, and actions. that originate from God mind, the infinite spiritual intelligence, these are the seeds of consciousness that we are planting. So in my mind, we are always creating with God thought, the power of our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. It means that when ideas come in, a spark of insight, a nudge that we usually will get, a vision or something greater, and we ignore it, what happens? It's like a seed's falling on a path. There's no soil there. It won't take root. And the opportunity disappears. When we have an idea that hasn't been built on a spiritual foundation through prayer or meditation or reflection, that's the seeds falling on rocky ground. It might spring up quickly, but it won't last because there's no depth to it. When our ideas are based on limiting beliefs or tangled in fear and doubt, they're like seeds sown among thorns. Those thorns choke life out of what might have grown. We find ourselves asking, well, why isn't this working? But the ground wasn't ready. Maybe you weren't ready. And God's saying, maybe we just need to wait a little while. The divine ideas, and I think understanding and patience and prayer and meditation and affirming, and we wait, that's when we see fall on good soil, because you prepared that soil with all that good stuff. And that's when we are co-creating. And it's not always easy. And sometimes that's the hardest to do, is to wait, trusting and holding vision when we can't yet see the results. But if we stay faithful, the harvest comes 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. So as we explore this principle, let us ask yourself, what seeds am I nurturing right now? Where am I affirming life and love, and where might I ignore or resisting life? How can I say yes to the universe today in small or large ways? We often feel frustrated when efforts don't bear immediate fruit. I've been there. You've been waiting and you're waiting, and all of a sudden you're saying, well, this is not working. It's just getting ready to pop through, and you just said, I'm done. We walk away. So how can I say yes when I'm already frustrated? We wonder, why do we keep pushing if it's not working? This touches on the heart of perseverance and the faith. Sometimes the seeds we plant don't sprout right away. The difficulty itself may be part of the growth process, teaching us patience, trust, and humility. Yet, spiritual wisdom also invites discernment. As much as we are called to be persistent, we're not called to stubbornly force a square peg into a round hole. And sometimes we've done that before, or try to. Unity's three principles, the idea that we are co-creators with God, shapes our reality through thoughts, fears, and actions, is not a command to keep pushing no matter what, but rather it's a call to align, to check whether thoughts, intentions, and actions are tuned into the radio station with the divine flow. Sometimes when things aren't working, it's a sign to reassess. Maybe the soil isn't right yet. Maybe the timing is off. Maybe the idea that we're pushing is based on old beliefs or misunderstandings that no longer serves. Like a good gardener, we must know when to water, when to wait, when to prune away. What no longer brings life. Wayne Dyer, I remember when I was trying to change my life, when I was a drug addict, a long time ago, and I remember Wayne Dyer says, if you want to change your life, you have to change your thoughts. Change your life, change your thoughts. If we look around today and we see the conflict, division, and dissatisfaction, much of that reflects collective patterns of thinking. But we are not helpless, and none of us here are victims. but we can tend the garden of our minds. And we can choose to plant what we nurture and what we pull up by the roots. And yet, we take this a little, I want to take this a little deeper. If we are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind, we can highlight that this is not just passive positive thinking, but an active practice affirming, aligning, and nurturing and co-creating with the divine intelligence. Then we draw beautifully on what Myrtle Fillmore was saying. When we're unfolding more of God, in using the parable of the sower as a metaphor for the fertile of the barren ground, we prepare through prayer, meditation, and intention. So here's some key takeaways. We must nurture the good soil of our consciousness, not by just scattering ideas thoughtlessly. We're always co-creating, even in small acts. Perseverance and discernments are both needed. Sometimes we wait faithfully. Other times we must align our efforts more wisely. And are we feeding our minds with fear, negativity, and divisiveness? Or are we intentionally cultivating love, empathy, and unity? Are we surrounding ourselves with voices that uplift or ones that drain and choke our spirit? There's great wisdom in knowing when to pause, to listen. Listen inwardly and to ask, is this aligned with my highest good? Am I forcing something that isn't meant to grow here and right now? Where can I adjust or pivot or be more open to new possibilities? When we listen to the deeper inner knowing, we become better co-creators, not by sheer force, but by partnering with the divine flow. Then when the seeds fall on good soil, they yield not just small returns, but the abundant harvest. So this week, as I close, I invite you to reflect by asking yourself, how can I change the world? To me, it is a reminder of how I am gardening my mind. By stepping into my spiritual responsibilities and by walking the talk. The way we do that is being present. Being present is valuable, but only when it's aligned. It's good to persevere, but if something isn't working, blindly pushing forward becomes counterproductive. Number two, recognizing when it's time to reassess. Like forcing a square peg into a round hole, if the situation or path isn't fitting, it may be time to pivot or adjust, not just push harder. Number three, that we're co-creators with God. The third principle's teachings that our thoughts, beliefs, and actions shape our reality, but that doesn't mean forcing outcomes. It means aligning with that flow of life and divine timing. Number four, the metaphor of gardening applies when we must tend the soil of our mind and to be mindful of what we plant, nurture, and grow, and prune away what no longer serves. Number five, conscious choice matters. What we feed our minds through media, conversations, and environment affects the world we want to co-create. Positive focus on community practice helps shift both our inner and outer world. And number six, wisdom is knowing when to adjust sometimes difficult signals not failures, but the need for new approaches, deeper trust, or a change in direction. To me, these five principles are more than just teachings. They're a way of life. They remind us that God is love and that we're inherently good, that our minds are powerful, and that prayer connects us to the divine. This is what Gordon's going to teach next week. And we live the truth we know. So when we act on whatever it is, we seal the deal between God and me. Think about that. So let us not just be mirrors of reflecting someone else's truth, but let us all be lamps shining with our own divine light. Let us crack mirrors of borrowed beliefs so that our unique brilliance can come through, because that's not what the world needs right now. It needs your light, fully alive and fully you. Amen. And so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.